Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. Over the next few weeks here, with the release of my new book, The Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brands, which was recently released on February 8th, proud to say that over the first few weeks here, we're actually a bestseller on Amazon. So very proud of that. And what I would like to do is actually give you some insight into The Visionary Brand, kind of take you through these podcasts piece by piece as to what the makeup of a visionary brand is and kind of the insight behind why I wrote the book, how I wrote the book, give you a little bit of a feel for this labor of love of mine that took over 18 months to bring to culmination. So things that we'll talk about and just a little bit of an overview over the next few weeks of what are we going to be talking about is really what makes a brand truly visionary. You know, is it product, innovation, culture, marketing, you know, that success formula that built these iconic brands, these brands like Apple, Nike, Adidas, you know, and allowed them to sustain their brand vision for generations. Not these one-hit wonders. They're actually brands that have sustained their vision for generations. So we'll talk about those brands in depth, and we'll also go through some case studies, which I found to be very useful, and the feedback that we've gotten from our readers that have purchased the book. And it's been great to hear that that actually is something that's working for them and they can directly apply it to their company or brand, regardless of their size. Really, that was what was important to me, was being able to, number one, apply what we're talking about, but also regardless of your size, being able to apply it and immediately see the benefit of that within your brand or company. So in The Visionary Brand, we really explore what's at the core of these generational brands and how one can become a visionary, along with discussing these foundational pillars. You know, we'll talk in detail as to the makeup of a visionary brand needed to achieve this visionary status. And we'll talk about the origins, the masterpiece of building this beautiful visionary brand, and how the orchestration of all your teams together is what makes this visionary brand. So we'll outline strategic elements to implementing these formulas. We'll talk about defining the vision, creating your path, foundational pillars of success, creating this continual flow of innovative ideas and products, creating a breakaway design strategy, maintaining and sustaining premium positioning, building a passionate culture, which not a lot of people talk about these days. As important as product marketing and sales to your company and your brand is the culture that you build within your company. Market driving versus market driven strategy, becoming a leader versus a follower, and having the courage to be great. That's really built around faith. It's really around this external strength that you find as an entrepreneur and a business owner to carry on and break through those barriers. So with the book, we hopefully feel, or I feel, you'll learn how to take your brand to the next level by defining your vision and foundational principles, building a continual flow of innovations through a breakaway product strategy, and maintaining premium positioning and creating a passionate culture embraced by your brand new community. So I hope you enjoy these series of podcasts. And please, if you could, subscribe to the Visionary Chronicles. And if you could, through your social media sites, I would really appreciate any reviews that you have and be able to provide that through Apple Podcasts. We're available through Apple Podcasts, through Google Play, through iHeart, through Pandora, through Spotify. We're on all the different channels. So whatever channel you're on and you happen to be listening to us, I would really appreciate any reviews or feedback you have, and put the word out there. Hopefully we're giving some good insight here on product and branding. So really appreciate it, and also appreciate your time listening to the Visionary Chronicles. Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles. Today, we're going to continue with our discussion on a new book that I just released, The Visionary Brand, The Success Formula Behind the World's Most Visionary Brands. Was released in February. Proud to say, first 3 weeks were actually a bestseller on Amazon. So thank you for all those of you who purchased the book. We really appreciate it. More importantly, we appreciate the fact of all the comments that I've received back in regards to the simple sophistication behind the book and the ability for people, regardless of size and company and role within the brand, are able to apply these principles that I put into the book. So to me, that's what I'm most proud of, but it doesn't hurt to be bestseller on Amazon. That certainly is something I'm very proud of and something I really appreciate. So as I'd mentioned, over the next several weeks, what I wanted to do is give you a little bit of insight into The Visionary Brand, kind of a little bit of a chapter by chapter. Certainly, we hope you go out and buy the book, but I wanted to give you a little bit of an overview of each chapter in the book. So this one we're talking about today is what I affectionately call the visionary or the vision paradox. And what it is what you'll find inside of companies and brands, whether I've been associated with a global brand, I've been fortunate to be with those brands, but also through Liquid Mind, a brand strategy firm that I run in Southern California. Worked with a lot of brands where I see this as a continual problem. And what it is the visionary or the vision paradox is where you have people in roles that shouldn't be in the roles that they are because they think they know what they don't. And what I mean by that is people in roles where, hey, they were born to be a designer. They were born to be in operations and they're very talented at it. But what they want is to go in and disrupt different functional groups just based on the fact that they have a passion for it, but really not a skill set for it. So what happens is the vision of what they think they can do and who they are is in contrast to the reality of what they truly can do for the company and the brand. And it causes problems and disruptions inside of companies and brands. And I see it too many times. And what happens is that it disrupts those groups that are trying to create this beautiful flow and orchestration of working together as a team. And so I affectionately say, just because I can see does not mean I have vision. And what I mean by that is, just because you want to be a designer doesn't mean you're a designer. Just because you want to be a graphic designer does not mean you're a graphic designer. You have to have the talent and skill set to go with it. You got to be able to gel with the team, be able to contribute to the team and the brand as a whole. So this vision paradox I talk about in the book is really built around that concept. So what I talk about is the concept itself, and then I also talk about what this vision actually leads to if you eliminate this vision paradox. And so this vision paradox is a dilemma faced by many brands, almost every brand that I've worked with and or brands through Liquid Mind. And when these brands are building the teams, especially early on, you know, these entrepreneurial companies, you want to make sure that you don't have, everybody has their distinct role inside of the company and the brand. The entrepreneur is a jack of all trades in most instances. And you bring people onto the team with a very complementary skill set, not overlapping. So certainly you don't want someone who's coming in and operations or somebody in sales that thinks they're a marketer or a marketer that thinks they can do sales. So, you know, they certainly work together as a team. I'm not saying that. We talk about that later in the book and the power triad, which is this triad of product, marketing, and sales and how cohesively they work together to drive the engine of the brand. But what you want to make sure of is that you put people in the right place. And probably the best analogy that I've seen is an orchestra. And when you see these complementary skill sets and the ability to orchestrate together, and I use that word orchestration, just think of it in your head when you're talking about building your brands and also having the brand or the teams within that brand work together. Think of the different instruments that they're playing and how awful an orchestra would sound if somebody didn't know how to play their instrument. You could have 100 people in the orchestra, but if there's one person playing their instrument wrong, guess what? That's all people hear, and they think it's awful. So it's a very good analogy when you talk about putting people in their lane or putting people in roles where they're going to succeed. And succeeding is really built off of cultural acceptance of them within your functional group. So when I say that, this analogy is very similar to when you hear that beautiful concerto and all the instruments complementing one another, you know, making for this kind of collective team, all their role and core expertise. You know, you don't want someone who, for instance, doesn't know how to play the violin, playing a violin. This one failed non-complementary team member ruins this beautiful orchestration of a team. You know, some call it staying in your lane or know what you know and that which you do not know. Either way, the team members assigned to these roles need to be complementary to accomplish anything, much less an innovative, disruptive brand, which is you're intending to do. So especially in the early stages, but also when you look at brands that think they're brands, and again, that falls underneath the vision paradox as well, is you get brands that'll go, hey, when I'm working with, and I'll give you a great example, many times with Liquid Mind, hey, how do we become an Oakley? Hey, how do we become a Nike? Well, you just don't become a great brand. You have to earn that right through loyalty and trust. And so those are two complementary pillar foundational principles that we talk about with great brands. So when you look at this, the team member's skill set and making sure that you have those skill sets complementary to one another, so you can accomplish the ability for you to become disruptive, and so you can effectively become a great brand. So, you know, having been in these global brands overseeing product, marketing, and business development, there's a method to these brand success. And this method includes clearly defining roles specific to team members' skill set. And I don't care if it's a startup or if it's an ongoing brand, the more you can have a cohesive skill set that complements one another on a team, in particular with product. You know, not only marketing becomes more black and white, sales becomes very black and white, product is more difficult because there's a lot of people that want to be product people. They want to be able to have their input into the product, but it causes disruption when they are putting their head into these functional meetings more often than not. You want to have the freedom of these creators building beautiful product that is right for their customer. It also is something that they're executing the vision on. The vision directly goes into the product team. So you want to make sure they have the tools to succeed, not only the tools, but the ability to succeed. You know, embrace that freedom that your creators have in building a great brand. So let's say you suppose you're moving your brand into this visionary thinking. You know, and I talk about it in the book quite a lot, is all of these different pieces of the foundation. You know, in this case, you must have all your team members playing their roles, providing guidance to those that are coming in and working with them, and leading the next revolutionary product, ensuring generational success. And I also talk a lot about generational success. I'm not a big fan of one-hit wonders. I want to make sure that when you have this pipeline of innovation, you could surf that thing for generations. And that's a key principle when we talk about in the book. And the book really is a progression from the start of the makeup and the elements of a visionary brand and all of those pieces of that formula that go into creating a visionary brand. You know, there's a reason that I said the visionary brand, because all the brands that I've been with, all the books that I've read and the books and companies that I talk about, I really didn't find a visionary brand. So there's a specific reason why I say the visionary brand, because there really isn't a visionary brand. There's brands that are close. There's Nike, there's Adidas, there's, you know, even when you look at Tesla and you look at Apple, all of these are truly visionary brands, but they're not a visionary brand. They have weaknesses just like every other company. And we explore those in the book. And we also give case studies in the book. So to give you an idea of what are those weaknesses these great brands have and how can I achieve visionary status with my company and brand. So there are brand principles realized through the elimination of this vision paradox and the adoption of a visionary foundation that I talk about. So I talk about the vision paradox because you need to, number one, understand it. Number two, eliminate it. You know, move people into roles where they're going to succeed. Be a leader. Be a visionary leader. You have a vision for your brand. Make sure it gets executed through the people and the culture that you're establishing with your company. So that is a foundational principle that can't change. So make sure that you have that. So when we talk about these pieces, I'll talk about three in particular. In the first, when you talk about a visionary brand, is they always have what I affectionately call term of breakaway product pipeline. It's surfing this product pipeline from the beginning of this. When you look at the supply chain, I kind of look at that as this wave, because that's visually what people look at when they say, hey, how are we positioning this product? What demographic? What are we targeting? All that falls along the supply and demand chain. It could be people on early adopters all the way through late adopters. You need to have products on that pipeline that are going to cover all price points and all margins, so you can capture market share as a result. So this breakaway product pipeline, you know, what is it? You know, I'll give you a brief overview, and the book gives you more detailed analysis along with case studies, you know. So when we look at it, it's a result of creating a vision, building an insanely great team, providing the tools to succeed, embracing failure, and rewarding creators for realizing the vision of what the brand is all about. And that's who's really creating and executing on the vision, is the product team. But they are the engine behind a visionary brand. Let them have their freedom. Let them have their peace. Let them allow them to create great products, be able to revolutionize the brand, not evolve it. Evolving is great, but it's incremental. Revolution is disruptive. The next point we talk about in the book is called foresight. When we talk about foresight, it's really realizing the vision of the visionary themselves. It's the ability for that visionary to see the future and to be able to interpret that future to be realized through the brand's creators. So it's really that foresight, you know, and that's why there's so few visionaries in the marketplace. People may think they're visionaries, and why I love this chapter in the book, because when you talk about this vision paradox, oh, we're very visionary, oh, we have these innovative products, and people throw that word around way too loosely. Disruption is innovation on steroids. You can be innovative but incremental at the same time, and that may be great for a period of time, but it's short-term thinking and not generational in nature. So you need to have this foresight. So foresight involves anticipation. I call it not waiting around, knowing what your customers desire before they do. You know, it's not incremental improvement. It's not refining. It's a vision of what can be, not what is. And the third point is revolution, recreate. And we talk about this in the book because when you look at a revolution, do you feel like your product is revolutionary? It's something that either is creating something that has not yet been created and or making something better that is already created. So revolution versus recreate. So that's the difference between those two. Revolution is much harder. Revolution is like a disruption. It's a complete change of how you think, how you operate, how you do your day-to-day, whether it's more efficient. And I love what Steve Jobs said, where he mentioned simple sophistication. You can have a sophisticated product, but it doesn't have to be complicated. And that's where Steve brought in his creators, his poets, those that knew human nature, that knew what the consumer was looking for, knew how the consumer used the product, how they wanted to use the product, how you needed it to be simple. The sophistication piece is taken by the tech side of the business. So that's the sophistication. The simple sophistication, the simple piece, is integrated into the product by those creators. So one quote that I love is, incrementalism is innovation's worst enemy. Nicholas Negroponte from MIT. I thought it was a beautiful way of talking about revolution and recreate and the difference between that. Incrementalism is not innovation. You need to have something that is not an imitator, but rather an innovator. So your ability to out-innovate yourself first is a key ingredient to being generational. We did this all the time at Oakley. We didn't care about the competition. We knew that if we out-innovated ourselves, that our competitors would always be in the rearview mirror. So find ways to take your breakaway product strategy and squeeze the competition across all price tiers. I talked earlier about the supply and demand chain. Squeeze them on the front end and the back end across all price points without degrading brand equity. We talk about that in the book. It's called the squeeze. And it's something that actually has crushed competitors as a result of properly implementing it or not properly implementing it and the damage that it causes. So you want to be able to squeeze your competition across all these price tiers while surfing other products that enter the pipeline on the front end and the back end. Not a one-hit wonder strategy, but rather one that provides products across the entire supply and demand chain. Capturing market share while not degrading brand equity is the key ingredient to properly executing that strategy. It's a very delicate balance, and very few have been able to do it successfully. We talk about Apple in the book. We talk about Nike case studies in the book, Under Armour. So those humble enough to understand their weaknesses and utilize their strengths complement the brand team and become part of an orchestration. A masterpiece driven by a passion for being part of a team who desire and want to be generational. So hopefully you found this useful. This is another chapter in the book, The Visionary Brand, the success formula behind the world's most visionary brands. It's available through all distribution channels, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. So thank you to those who have purchased the book, and hopefully you find this episode of The Visionary Chronicles useful. And again, I say we really appreciate any feedback you have and also any reviews you might want to put out on our podcast and the channels that we currently have The Visionary Chronicles on. I wanted to thank you for listening to The Visionary Chronicles podcast, and hopefully you find the information that we put out each week very useful. And what we found through reviews and when we were originally putting together their Visionary podcast was found both personal and professional advice as well as information those listening to the podcast were looking for. So we wanted to be unique in that way, and hopefully you found that to be the case. And appreciate the reviews that you've been sending in, and we would certainly appreciate you signing up for our newsletter as well, which is an expansion upon what you're seeing on or hearing on the Visionary Chronicles podcast. And you can find that at two locations. One is bryansmeltzer.com, BryanSmeltzer.com, or our company site, liquidmindsight.com, LiquidMind, site.com. So we would appreciate any reviews, additional reviews, comments you may have. Sign up for the newsletter, and we look forward to talking with you next week.